flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Gets to the foul line, lost the ball, turnover. Here comes Levine. He's off to the races. Takes it right down Broadway between two guards, goes up and in and scores.
That's how you do it. Nobody stops you. Just take it to the hole.
Levine with a three off the dribble, knocked it in left sideline.
The thing about him, too, is you can guard him well. He just jumps over you. I mean, he gets up on his jump shots.
Zach LaVine comes left, bounce pass Vucevic right down the lane. Nobody stopped him.
Well, Steph just left him. He was there and he just kept going.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
It's such a fun audience right now. And what I mean by audience, yes, I do mean all of you listening, but even you, Grandy, or anyone you're having a conversation with about Warrior basketball right now. I honestly think we can all convince each other of just about anything. If it means new players. I could, like, give me 5 minutes and, like, debate class in high school, I can draft an argument that will make you want to do the deal. You don't even need to know what the deal is. You'll say yes. You'll say yes. So now do you want Zach LaVine?
I mean, Zach LaVine would make this Warrior team better.
Without knowing who's going out.
Without knowing who's going out.
Okay.
I mean, he would immediately become, by a mile, this team's second-best offensive player.
Yeah. Gosh, on certain nights, he'd be their best.
Yeah. And the Warriors honestly need that.
Okay. So, do you want to hear the deal?
Yes.
All right, here is the deal. The San Francisco Giants have sent left-handed pitcher Taylor Rogers to the Reds for right-handed pitcher Braxton Roxby.
Oh, Braxton Roxby.
Oh, sorry, that's the deal. That actually happened. That actually happened an hour and a half ago. That's right, Braxton Roxby. Yes, he is now a Giant. He's never played in the bigs before.
And $12 million of spending space.
Oh, they got, flexibility, mm-hmm. So they can
read
go out there.
Between the lines.
Oh, wait, sorry, no one's left. They're all Dodgers. Anyway.
They have optionality.
Mm-hmm. Swear you can't count to 10 without the Dodgers signing someone. Did anyone know the Dodgers had this many roster spots open? What the hell's going on?
And who's not on their team this year?
Yeah, they signed Kirby Yates last night. The best reliever available for the third week in a row. Anyway, back to Wiggins. So, this is just the thing that Steph Curry hates the most. So I figured, you know, let's do it.
Oh, are you on the ESPN trade machine?
I'm on the ESPN trade machine because what I'm looking for, and if you've never been on the trade machine before, you got to put all the stuff in there and the finances have to work. And sometimes even when the finances work, it doesn't work because of quirky rules that we don't know about. So you have to put all of this in and then you have to. It's a very, very, it's a big moment when you click try this trade. It's a big moment.
And then when you get the green, it's this like, trade works.
Yes.
A real sense of accomplishment.
It's like winning the lottery. Yeah.
Or not. Him, Mike Dunleavy.
Maybe not winning the lottery, but it's like with scratch off that actually, like, even if it's just $2, you're like, hey.
I want another ticket.
That's right. I want another ticket. So when you get that big green box that says this trade is successful, you do. You blow on the back of your fingernails. You're like, hey, look at the big brain on Mark. So here it is. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. The Warriors will acquire Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic in exchange for Andrew Wiggins, Dennis Schroeder, Gary Payton II, Kyle Anderson, and Kevon Looney. A 5-for-2 deal that obviously would call for some roster gymnastics because you would need to add players, but this deal does give you almost $2 million in wiggle room because $2 million plus would be going out, $2 million plus more would be going out
than coming in.
Than what's coming in. And with that, you can, I think you can move some things around a little bit.
And there would be a third and maybe a fourth team involved, and then all the pieces get shifted different areas, and you could have another player coming in, send in another one, and there's ways to make it all work. It's just way more convoluted than just this, but there is a way for the Warriors to get rid of five players and have room for those two.
Yep, and again, so it's Andrew, and again, I want to say how this came together. This was not me, like, handpicking the players that I want gone or anything like that. It's twofold. A, does it work financially? B, is it something that would help the Bulls? Yes, I like to think about trades in such a way that, like, the other team would actually want to do it. I because that's the way it works. The Bulls are going to have to want to do this. So what would they get?
Such a downer. Let's trade Looney for Giannis.
Wiggins is still a good player.
Yeah.
So you're getting Wiggins and you're turning essentially your wing scorer, you're turning him from a $43 million player to a $26 million player, but still getting some production. So that's what you're signing up for, and only one other contract is not expiring, and that would be Kyle Anderson, which is manageable. He's a Swiss Army knife, and he's making $8.7 million. Other than that, you are freeing yourself up of these large contracts and turning two non-expiring deals into three expiring deals that, when added up together, would equal $30 million.
I also think, and this, honestly, it might be a reason why Warrior fans might be frustrated. If say, a Zach LaVine trade were to happen and the Warriors were to acquire LaVine within the next 8 days, right? 8 days minus 3 hours. That's the trade deadline. Noon Thursday of next week. Is Zach LaVine has been available to be acquired for a long time, and it is one of the most difficult contracts to trade in the NBA.
Yes.
Not quite as bad as Bradley Beal, because he has a no-trade clause, and the money is pretty ugly there as well. The Bulls were shopping, or reportedly shopping, Zach LaVine all offseason. The Warriors did not bite. They had absolutely no interest in biting. And it was so bad for Chicago that, according to reports, they were willing to attach a first-round pick to Zach LaVine just to get him out of there. And the Warriors, again, no interest in it. So I think that this would be a move. If that's what it was, it would make the Warriors a better basketball team. You get a floor spacing big, and you get a two or a three, a wing that can score like few other wings in the NBA. Those are two positions the Warriors desperately need,
right?
Like, really, really badly. So I think it would make this Warrior team a lot better. But I think there would be some frustration as well, because this could have been a deal, at least the LaVine portion of it, that you could have got done before the season even began.
Don't forget, Andrew Wiggins, his name was on that list too. Of the, hey, does anybody want this player? And the whole league went, no. So it wasn't just Zach LaVine. Wiggins was that guy last offseason also. Lesser degree. So let me run through the names again, but also add this, and I should have said this the first time around. If the Bulls were interested in this, because some people are asking why would the Bulls do that. Part of it is $30 million in expiring contracts. You turn right now, Vucevic and LaVine are making a combined 63. You would turn almost half of that immediately into expiring money. So that's good. You're probably going to have to attach a pick or two. I don't know about two, certainly not two first rounders. Two second rounders, one first rounder, something like that.
Maybe, I don't know. They've been trying for a long time to get rid of the LaVine contract.
Yes, they have.
And they haven't been able to.
So I know.
And they were willing to attach a pick to it in the offseason.
Like when you're the Bulls.
LaVine and a pick to get out of here.
I know. You are exactly right.
Not the other way around.
So a lot of people will go, why would you do those players for those players? Like LaVine and Vucevic are the two best players in the deal. Right. I don't think the Bulls care about that. The Bulls will care about two things. Get off the money and get draft assets if they can. But, yeah, I'm with you. Remember, you're throwing in Vucevic, too.
Yeah.
So maybe that does lead to a future one. But the players are Andrew Wiggins, and I'm just throwing this out because it works. It adds up financially. I got the big green. This trade is successful. Andrew Wiggins, Dennis Schroeder, Gary Payton II, Kyle Anderson, and Kevon Looney in exchange for both Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic. Mm. You in?
I think I'm in on that.
I already know you're in.
I'm in on that. The starting lineup would look like what? It would be Steph Curry along with Zach LaVine.
Sure.
Jonathan Kuminga.
Kuminga when he's back.
Draymond Green.
And Vuce.
And Nikola Vucevic.
Can Kuminga play the three?
With Vucevic and LaVine along with Steph, yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll
the reason
that.
Why Kuminga can't play the three right now is because there's not enough shooting elsewhere.
I'll buy that, but also be open to the idea that Kuminga still anchors your second unit and plays 30 minutes a night, and you could sub in a Moody or anything like that in that spot also.
Or a Pajemski.
Or a Pajemski, yep.
Or a Buddy Hield.
Yep. or a Buddy Hield. Yes, you could. You could add in.
I think that Warrior team, that group is loads better than this current one.
It's intriguing. I don't know if anything like this is on the table, but I will say this. When you tell me that Anthony Slater and Marcus Thompson collectively put Zach LaVine's name in writing, I am going to trust that that is something that is being discussed.
And say something along the lines of people inside the building are, quote, intrigued.
Well,
more so than just, hey, here's a possibility.
I can't wait to see how they make that salary work. Because the next question, I know it seems to be the only one you want to answer right now, is does it make the Warriors better? Okay, check.
What is it costing them down the road, though?
What are we doing 2 and 3 years from now with that contract? What does it mean for Jonathan Kuminga? What does it mean for everybody involved? What does it mean? Because LaVine's got two more years after this one at big dollars. Big dollars. And Vucevic has one more year at mid-range dollars, too. So you're gonna then, like, just think about next year alone. Steph, 60. Draymond, 26. Zach LaVine, 46. Nikola Vucevic, 21. And then Kuminga's going to be like,
where's my money?
And can you do anything?
Maybe not with both of them, but you could then turn around and trade Vucevic right after you have him for 3 months.
Maybe. Maybe you could. Okay, Warriors hosting the Thunder tonight. Warriors Live with Evan Giddings is at 6 p.m., and it's presented by Xfinity Stream Sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. 888-957-9570. What do the Warriors do well? How would you answer that question? We will take your calls right now and also coming up next tell you about the knockout tournament, 45 minutes away from keyword time and your chance to win your way in. Grandy's in for Dibs, Willard and Dibs.
Dub Nation, it's Andrew Wiggins. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Is that Chicago Bull, Andrew Wiggins? What?
Hey, is that Miami Heat, Andrew Wiggins?
I do want to shout out those of you who just sent in messages, and you're right. That trade That trade makes the Warriors markedly worse defensively.
Yeah, no doubt.
Holy crap. Buy GP2, buy Andrew Wiggins, buy Dennis Schroeder, and on the way in are two dreadful defensive players.
Especially Vucevic. Yeah.
So,
but they can score the rock.
Yeah. You know, are you shoring up one dam just to create another?
Maybe.
You know? And I do. It's funny because we had that conversation a lot, I think, about the 49ers this year in a different way. It wasn't about like trying to make a trade or anything like that. But there was all this conversation about, you know, Brock Purdy, obviously, the running back injuries, the offensive line, blah, blah, blah. And that's all 100% fair. I still am going to go to the grave thinking that the defense was the bigger problem. But what do we focus on when we watch sports?
Offense.
There you go.
Scoring points.
Right. Said no one ever. I'm going to the Giants game to see those outfielders catch that ball.
I want a 1-0 ball game.
So, anyway, 888-957-9570. Lucas has officially ended my life by putting this trade on Twitter and putting my name on it. So thank you very much, Lucas. I appreciate that. I will now be fending off my phone for the next 12 hours of my life. Because while I guess I can lay claim to it being my trade idea, the way that you write that is clearly that, like, so here's what Mark wants to do. And, like, that was not the context of this conversation at all. It was, can you find something that works? And so I did. Would I do this? I guess.
Yep. Your idea.
I guess.
Stand on it.
No, but that's like what you're hearing from me is how I feel about it. Because I do think you'll stink on the defensive side. Like, ask me if I think that means the Warriors are going to go win something.
Well, what do you define win something?
Go to the playoffs and win a round.
Do you think the Warriors, with that trade, will go to the playoffs and win a round?
No, I don't. Defense matters even more in the playoffs than it does in the regular season. And so I think that that team would have maybe a better chance to get to the playoffs, but they'd probably have a worse chance to do something once they got there. That'd be my take on the deal. And I have questions. Like, beyond this year. So if you were to do a deal like that, what does that mean for Jonathan Kuminga? Everybody's so focused on keeping him, but you want to make a deal that would make keeping him preventative going forward beyond this year. So, you know, I tried to ask a similar question to Eric Pincus, who is a capologist and has been with Bleacher Report and a bunch of places. I tried to ask him a similar question about that this morning. With regard to Jimmy Butler, everyone's like, oh, you can get Jimmy Butler and keep Kuminga. But can you? And I asked him. I'm like, can they fit an extension for Kuminga into a team that also has Butler? What I was looking for was a yes or a no.
And he gave you something else.
I did not get that. I got option C, which is, I think if they get Butler, Kuminga's in the deal. And maybe by extension, that was his way of saying no. They can't fit Kuminga into an extension.
Yeah.
Or any one of these deals is a signal that they are not sold on the Jonathan Kuminga future. And I do think that's a very worthwhile part of this conversation, my opinion. You go acquire players like this, doesn't matter, Butler, LaVine, whatever. You go acquire players like this, I do think that that is a signal that the Warriors franchise, the basketball people, do not believe that Jonathan Kuminga is some sort of a future all-star.
Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, maybe they're uncertain about that. Or maybe also part of it is they feel like his market is not going to be robust at all, and they might be able to get him at a number that is lower than expected, and maybe they could find a way to fit him in that way.
Maybe.
But that seems less likely.
Yeah, and then we arrive at the spot, and I hope I speak for almost all fans out there. Then we arrive at the spot where I'm like, all I can do is shrug my shoulders. I have no idea if that's doable, allowed, what the Warriors, the board of directors are thinking with regard to luxury tax and going over and spending this, that, and the other. I have no idea what they're thinking about that, or if it's even legal to have all those contracts next year. But if the answer is yes, then I'll go into fan mode. I don't care what you spend. I do not care what you spend. You want to luxury tax yourself to death?
Knock yourself
out.
Go for it.
You're billionaires. I don't care. I don't care. Get a yacht. Sure, get five. Like, great. That stuff always kind of makes me laugh when fans worry about that stuff. If you're telling me it's not preventative of anything in the future, knock yourself out.
Yeah. And they got themselves out of the second apron this year, so you avoid the repeater offense that would come. You could go right back into the deep into the aprons next year, and then get out the following year, so you avoid all that. The new CBA is something that every team is going to have to try to figure out how it works and what's the best strategy. And the Warriors, you know, probably are one of the teams that has to be as creative as any other going forward. I think in general, it's so much fun to run through all these potential trades.
For sure.
Would this make the team better?
Steph loves it.
He really loves it.
Hi, Steph. I know you're probably on your way to Chase Center right now.
Probable.
We're on the ESPN trade machine right now, Steph.
Probable.
Sorry. We're just being us.
Yeah, and Lucas,
we're just having fun.
And Lucas's Twitter fingers back there. They're Twittering.
But go ahead.
I think in general, when we are trying to decide whether or not this trade makes the Warriors better, and yeah, they're better offensively, but does the loss defensively outweigh the offensive gain? Honestly, I feel like and this is easy for me to say when I'm not in charge of making the decision and there's actual ramifications on real people and futures and jobs and all that, and I get it. So I don't want to minimize that aspect of it. I think given the situation the Warriors are in, we tend to overthink this stuff. Like, the Warriors are stuck in this mediocrity, and they've been here for 2.5 years now. Like, I am less of the mind of, well, it's not a perfect deal. There's a plus. There's a minus. Is it going to weigh? Is it going to even out? Is it going to be a net negative? Are we worried about the future? I'm just of the mind, if you are set on trying to win, then you have to do something. You have to just do something.
Well,
and I don't know what is out there that fits the Warriors better in a simple, one team has two assets they're looking to trade.
Sure.
And the Warriors, you know, interested theoretically. I don't know what the better, more simpler option is.
Well, and here is what I would argue is the best shiny piece of a deal like this. I won't even say this deal, but a deal like this. I think it fits into what Steph Curry and Steve Kerr said a week and a half ago, which is that we're not going to do anything irresponsible. This would not be giving up anything in the future that you're worried about. This is not giving up three first rounders and two first round pick swaps and Jonathan and pods and blah, 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 blah. All the things that I think the Warriors, at least in the offseason, were protecting a little bit.
When it came to Lowry Marketing, for example.
Sure. This is something that, let's say, you do shoot for the moon and you miss. Okay. Three of these five players you're giving up, we're leaving at the end of the year anyway. One of them is Andrew Wiggins, which is like, that's not a death blow. You know, that's been an up and down relationship, and the Warriors, I think, were very activated about the idea of getting him off the roster last year and could not. Mm-hmm. And then the other player is Kyle Anderson. It's just like,
in and out of the rotation all year.
Play him for the most part.
Played a little bit last night.
Yeah, he's a good basketball player. Super smart player. And very useful on many, many a roster. But not a linchpin. And if you do have to give up a first-round pick, which I don't know that you would, but again, if you do, my hope would be the middle ground. If the Warriors are like, we'll give you two twos, and the Bulls are like, give us your one. The middle ground is, we'll give you a one, but not this one. You get 2029 or something like that.
I read the rest of what Anthony Slater and Marcus Thompson wrote, which started this whole conversation. What they added in there was, if They seem to not be, they would not be surprised if the Warriors were to trade their first round pick for this year, with one caveat of it would be protected, like top 10 protected,
okay.
Or at least lottery protected. And the logic there is they're hearing from the Warriors that the Warriors aren't that intrigued by the prospects around like the 14, 15, 16
okay.
range.
That's interesting.
So if your pick falls in that area, they feel like they might not be missing that much. So maybe it's top 12 protected, or top, maybe it's just lottery protected, whatever the case may be. And so if it conveys in their season fails and they don't make the playoffs and they're in the lottery, they get to make their pick. They feel like they get someone of value there. But if they go to the playoffs and their pick is 18th,
then you can have it.
Then you can have it,
yes.
And then we'll get our pick next year and we'll be fine.
I think that's totally fair. And another way to say that is if we do this deal, if it works, you can have our pick. If the deal doesn't work, we keep our pick. That's another way of saying it.
There's a reality it doesn't work this
right.
year, and it also fails next year,
yes.
and giving up a valuable pick next year.
Yeah.
But, yes.
You gotta dance
yeah.
if you want to go to the party.
There's obviously no move here where there's no risk involved, and that would be the major risk.
We're going to go to the phones here in just a sec. 888-957-9570. Have you looked at the Twitter poll? Tell me that you have not looked
at the Twitter poll. I have not looked at the
Twitter poll. Perfect. I would like for you to guess how our audience is responding to Lucas's irresponsible tweet.
your trade suggestion, that tweet.
The trade suggestion that I spent all night coming up with, and I would definitely do if I were the general manager yeah. of either of these teams.
And you were poring over
you
the new
that.
Rules
yeah.
of the CBA and making sure it all
That's
works.
That's right. You know I hate Dennis Schroeder. Yeah. I want him off this team. No.
he was good last night.
He was. So, anyway, the deal that works on the thingamajig on ESPN Trade Machine.
Read it off to me again.
The Warriors get Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic. The Bulls would get Andrew Wiggins, Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Anderson, Kevon Looney, and Golden State's protected first-round pick. That's the deal. Okay? What do you think? It's a yes or no question. Mm-hmm. Would you do it? What do you think our audience is saying?
I would say 67% of the audience says, yes, I would do it.
You are correct in what is winning. You are too low.
Too low.
You are
73%.
That's exactly the
Whoa.
Number. So three quarters.
I was close.
Three quarters of the Twitter audience would do it.
That's a unique audience.
It's a unique audience.
That is generally the audience that's hell yeah, do it, do anything.
They want to whack everyone across the face. Yeah, get them out of here. Get some new people in here so we can rip them too. That's that audience.
Yeah.
And so three quarters of them would like to do it. Yeah. So that's what we're looking at. Let's go to Coleslaw in San Diego. Hi, Coleslaw. What are you doing? I'll tell you why I called you Coleslaw, because that's what it says on my screen. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to call you food. Wait, say your name again. What's your name?
Coach Hall, like hallway.
Oh, Coach Hall. Ah, Steven. Yeah. Hey, Coach Hall, just so you know, Steven, who's handling phones today, his face is in his hands. He's mortified. He's mortified. I'm like, if you're going to call the guy a side dish, let's go with French fry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, much, much better.
Yeah. All right, Coach Hall, what's going on?
I think, for me, the math isn't mathing, because if we get Jimmy, we're giving up too much, right? And then we don't have any wings. And if we go get Vooch from the Bulls, then once again, we don't have any a wing to play defense with Wiggins. I think we're two players away. What makes the most sense, but I know it's not mathematically possible, is to get LaVine and Vooch from the Bulls. But how can we do that without giving up Kuminga or Wiggins? Like, I feel like if we go and get, you know, a trade, there's going to be a void. If we get a big, we're going to be missing a wing and nobody to play defense. So I'm just scratching my head and see how does it make sense.
Coach, so first of all, you're right that there's no way to do it without giving up Wiggins. But I'm interested into why you think that's preventative. Like, if you were to get Zach LaVine, why would you still want Wiggins and Kuminga? Now you've got a wing logjam.
Well, I think for one or the other, because I don't know if LaVine is a two-way player like that. And then wouldn't we have to give up GP2 as well? I'm just thinking of it from like a defense, like defense aspect. Like ideally, if we could get Vooch and LaVine and maybe keep Kuminga, then I think that would be the best bet. But I don't. Who's going to play defense if we get them?
It's a great question. I like all I can do is sit here and admit that you're right. That this trade idea. It makes the Warriors way worse on the defensive end.
Well, no question. I will say you can make it work if you keep Wiggins and Kuminga, but the only other way to do it, assuming you're not trading Steph, and of course they're not, is trading Draymond. You're also not trading Draymond, but that doesn't really make you better defensively either because Draymond is the quarterback of the defense, even though you know he's injured right now.
You could probably get Vucevic without giving up Wiggins or Kuminga. You could probably get Vucevic.
Yeah.
Just Vucevic.
Yeah.
Not LaVine. And while I have been and continue to be in full favor of getting yet another stretch five, I know everyone's like, ooh, Quentin Post, great, get two. Get one who's actually been in the NBA for a long time, who will be more consistent. Quentin Post can learn under him. They can swap minutes, all of those things. Like, I'm in favor of getting Vucevic, but that doesn't give you that put the ball in his hands, final 5 minutes, go get me a bucket. I know everybody wants that. I get that. Like, that part of Zach LaVine, I understand. Guru and I have had this conversation 12 times. and he wants that bucket getter. And I understand. I do. I get that aspect of it. It's when we start to dive into the contextual pieces of what happens on the other end of the floor, what happens in 2026, what happens in 2027, with those contractual numbers, those are my questions. And I can't even fully answer those. I don't know if this deal means that Jonathan Kuminga gets to stay for the rest of this year, but then that's it. And nothing you could do after that. If somebody wants to offer him $32 million a year, you're out. And it might mean that.
That might be the reality in the first place anyway. We don't really know.
It might be.
We don't know that for sure. Just for the sake of clarity in any moves like this, any trade that is like acquiring someone 30 or more million dollars per year, 35 or more per year, it has to include either Wiggins or Draymond.
Correct.
Essentially.
Correct.
It absolutely has to.
Yes, yeah.
Like, you have three big contracts. It's Steph, it's Wiggins, it's Draymond. So one of those is involved in any big needle mover trade.
Correct.
Of course, you're not trading Steph. I think by extension, you're not trading Draymond, which means by process of elimination, it has to be Wiggins. This isn't you and I hate Wiggins and we want him out of here. This is the only way to get someone who makes good money is by trading away Andrew Wiggins. I think there's a decent chunk of Warrior fans who say, well, they should be willing to trade Draymond. That's a conversation we could have at some point. I'm just saying my expectation is they don't want to do that. They won't do that. So Wiggins is the only realistic option.
I agree with you completely. Yeah. Unless you want to wait till the offseason, and in theory you might be, then Kuminga could be the piece that brings one of these players.
True.
If you wanted to do that, I don't know if anybody wants to do that, but if you wanted to, you could wait to the offseason and reboot this conversation, and potentially at that time, Jonathan Kuminga becomes the big contract piece that can bring you something else.
I said earlier, I feel like when we are breaking down all these trades and ideas and, well, you know, it hurts them defensively, so I'm a little hesitant to do it. Generally, I feel like we overthink all these things. And I want to go back to a conversation we had yesterday to kind of further my point. So the report yesterday, Willard, was that the Jimmy Butler asking price has come down considerably, and maybe the Warriors might be able to get someone like Jimmy Butler, or specifically Jimmy Butler, for Wiggins and salary filler, and that's just about it. And there's still a lot of people out there. I know you are not super high on that trade because of what it might mean for Kuminga's future, but also you feel like that doesn't really make the Warriors that much better. Like, Jimmy Butler's probably better than Wiggins, not by that much.
No, it does, and it brings with it all sorts of potholes.
Let me just read some numbers off to you, okay? This is Andrew Wiggins this year, which you have described as a very solid Wiggins year, bounce back year. He's having himself
a nice year, yes.
And Jimmy Butler is having a season where he doesn't even want to play basketball.
Correct.
Okay? That his motivation is zero. So much that he's not even playing. Imagine when he was playing and what he was doing on the court. Okay, even with that, Great Wiggins year. Jimmy Butler not even wanting to play basketball. They're averaging the same amount of points. Butler's averaging more assists, more rebounds. Butler's shooting better from the field, better from the free throw line, better effective field goal percentage.
He's a better player.
This is my point.
Yeah, he's a better player.
We overthink this. Jimmy Butler is far and away a better basketball player than Andrew Wiggins. This is one of the better years of Wiggins' career, it's the worst of Jimmy Butler's career.
Right, but he's being paid twice as much. Therefore, like, I think it's reflected in their salary, so you're not getting him straight up. If you ask me if you trade Wiggins for Butler, sure, done.
And what else? You're not giving up that much else.
I don't know what else you're giving up. I don't know what else you're giving up. I don't know what the draft capital is that's going out. I don't know if Jimmy's going to opt into his $52 million next year, and I don't know if Jimmy is going to come in and within 3 weeks hate Steve Kerr. I don't know any of that. So I get where you're coming from. I do. He's a better player. I said that to you yesterday. He's definitely a better player. But does it automatically, like, I don't stop at that question. Does it make the Warriors better right now? I want them to get better, but not at the expense of a bunch of other things. And so that's where my question is.
I hear you.
Yeah. I'm also, listen, I think we, first of all, knockout tournament keyword is coming up in 20 minutes. I want to dig a little deeper into the observation you had about last night, because we started this show off by asking, what do the Warriors do well? And my sort of tongue-in-cheek response was, they're really good at getting talked about. That's what the Warriors are really good at. Your response, and I don't want to, I mean, you tell me if I'm using these words incorrectly, but your response was the idea that on an individual basis, what do a lot of the players do well? Play without Steph. A lot of them look different when Steph is not in the game.
Yep.
or not even dressed. And I wonder, let's dig into that a little bit. Did y'all see that last night? Do you feel that? Not meaning are the Warriors better without Steph, but player by player, person by person, do they play differently or feel different? And are there just more minutes available without Steph, and therefore, what does that mean for the bigger picture of his future and the young guys? So we can get into all of that. We'll do that next. Your calls are welcome, 888-957-9570. Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Grandy in for Dibs, Willard and Dibs.
Takes a handoff from Pajemski up top, turns Sexton around, and takes the jumper and hits a three. Oh, he and Sexton have their own little battle going on right now. Schroeder on the inbounds, catches and now gets the ball to Looney by the hash mark. He'll fell down. Schroeder takes a three. It's front rim off the glass and in.
Oh, you love those.
Yeah, softly up there. A soft release gave it a chance to go in. Schroeder backs up to the dribble. Anderson flashes through. Schroeder takes a tap and a key three. And his confidence as a Warrior is at its highest peak right now.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, well, well. Dennis Schroeder can play basketball again. What was different?
Steph wasn't on the floor.
Coincidence?
23 points, most he's ever scored in a Warrior uniform.
Again, this is someone who averaged 18 a night, like a 23-point night for Brooklyn earlier this year. No big deal. That happened all the time.
And only the second time he scored 20 or more with the Warriors. In how many games does he play with the Warriors now?
Gotta be 20 by now.
21.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Second time.
So, I don't know. Like, again, when I think of this, it's like, it's a discussion that has no solution, in my opinion. It has no solution. I've already, before we even started the show, I pulled Lucas aside and I said, hey, Director of Sports, don't you do it. I'm not having a conversation that leads you to put a quote on social media about how the Warriors are better without Steph. I'm not doing it. We're not doing this. Okay? Nope.
You could tweet whatever I say, Lucas.
Yeah, whatever. So there's nothing you can do about this. It's like what Steve Kerr said the other day, with the dynasty is going downhill. It's nobody's fault. It's nobody's fault. They checked with the gods, and Steph is not allowed to not get older. Hmm. They checked. The answer was no. He's got to get older. That's being a human being.
Nobody's fault, but there, you could say there's mistakes.
Not saying they've made every perfect move.
Yeah.
But none of them were, let's make Steph younger. Let's have him stop growing. That never happened, right?
Right.
All right. So I don't think there's any solution here. It's just an observation, and maybe it does help sort of explain some things. You brought it up, and I agree with you. I wonder if some of these players, whether it's because Steph does not present their best style, like Dennis Schroeder,
mm-hmm.
or if Steph is almost so godlike that they just defer to him at such a level, they look for him at such a level, that they're not playing free and easy and playing their best basketball. And gosh, who would fit that description? Maybe a Moses Moody. Maybe even a Kuminga. But I feel like Jonathan has reached a spot where he's looking for his. He's looking for his. But I do wonder if there's, think of this. It used to be these guys are winning championships, and you're asking players after the game about each other, and they're talking about each other, and they're vibing, and they're the Warriors, and they're the best team in the world. And now you're having an interview with Quentin Post, and the conversation is like, I'm so amazed by Steph Curry and his amazingness. He drove me home the last week one time when there was no other ride from the airport, and what other superstar would do that? Like, he is a godlike figure to these guys.
They grew up watching him.
Right, and we're asking them to go out on the basketball court and, like, be you, dude. Well, no, I can't be me.
You're freaking Steph Curry.
Right.
Take a 35-footer. That's better than a dunk by me.
So how's that affecting this whole thing this year is something I wonder about.
I think so. And when I brought it up, I think for me it was less, although I totally hear what you're saying, and honestly, now that you brought it up, I agree, like less about the mindset of individual players, and it was more about the style of, and this is offense specifically, the style of offense that the Warriors run when Steph Curry and Draymond Green are running the show. It's the style they've ran for a decade now, and obviously it's been incredibly successful, one of the more successful decades of basketball in NBA history. They've won 4 championships doing it, but it is a unique style, and every time you get a new person in here, whether it was Dennis Schroeder midseason or it's any offseason acquisition, it's how are you going to adjust to the Warriors style? Can they fit the Warriors style? It's a hard thing to learn. You don't pick it up immediately. It takes time. This also feeds into the conversation of, Steve Kerr doesn't trust the young people because they need to learn how to play in this system. Like, it's not an easy thing to play. It's not what you learn growing up, not what you play in high school, what you play in college. What Steph and Draymond do is so unique that there are few players around the NBA who fit well in that system. And for sure, Kuminga is not one of them. At least it's not natural for him to fit in that.
Nope.
Schroeder, for sure, is one of them. And I think you can say the same thing for every, young newbie, like Quentin Post, and like Moses Moody when he was first drafted, and like Brandon Pajemski last year, and like even at times Trayce Jackson-Davis. It's not easy for any of these guys. And when you have a roster that generally is filled with Stephen Curry and Draymond Green, and then a good chunk of youngsters elsewhere, or players like Dennis Schroeder who play an entirely different style, you have a clashing of what works best. And you have Steph and Draymond on one hand on the court often together doing what they do, and then you have 3 dudes elsewhere who are like, where am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be setting the screen? Do I be running, cutting to the corner? Do I cut back door? Do I come and set a screen for Steph? What am I supposed to do right now?
Or even if they do know what to do, it's not what they do best. Like every coach who I've ever spoken to in the history of my life says the same thing. And it's why sometimes I think we talk about coaches too much. Coaches are important. Don't get me wrong. I think that the job they do is very, very tangible. But all a coach can do is put the player in their best position to succeed. That is literally that's as far as they can go. They can call a wonderful play. You go the wrong way, you went the wrong way. And so now we're at a spot, I do think, where that's difficult for the entire Warrior coaching staff, because there are certain players where putting them in their best position to succeed is not putting Steph Curry and the organization in their best position to succeed. And that's the rub. And that's the thing that leads to so many people being like, Steve Kerr hates young people. Well, you can say it that way if you want. I personally think it's absurd. I don't think Steve Kerr hates young people. I don't think Steve Kerr doesn't want young people to succeed. Literally, he has at different times, his job has been dependent on it. Nobody thinks the Warriors win the title 3 years ago without Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins. Nobody thinks that. And so those are, especially Jordan, young players who developed who? Under Steve Kerr. Does he hate him? I get what happened next, and it makes people think that. But what I think is happening is it's a little bit more like the whole staff gets put in a spot where there's no good answer, and you have to pick a side. We can go over here and just focus on developing these guys, but that's going to take away from our bread and butter and Steph Curry and his style. It's going to take away from that. Or we can lean into Steph Curry because that's what we've always done, and it's been very successful, and it is going to slow things down a little bit for the young guys, and it is going to frustrate them at times. But that's what we choose. And largely, maybe at least until now, I think that's been the right thing to do. It's a choice that I would have made. I would have made the same choice.
Yeah, how can you blame our coaching staff for being like, we're going to keep putting Steph and Draymond in the best possible place for them? Like, that's an easy, it doesn't even take a second to think about making that decision.
But did you translate that to mean, man, they're keeping Kuminga down? Well, that might be a byproduct to a certain degree.
It's not their motivation in making that decision.
It's not what they're trying to do.
Of course not.
Yeah.
That would be malpractice if that was it, and they're not in the business of malpractice. I think that there is, though, specifically with Jonathan Kuminga and also with Dennis Schroeder, there is like a very real, and this is more so about, I think, Kuminga actually. Schroeder does fit in this bucket. And this is maybe what you're getting at least up to this point. There is the reality now where I think the Warriors are looking at the current roster and what they currently have, and this could entirely change if they make a big move at the deadline and the roster changes and you have different players with different skill sets in here, and then maybe you adjust right back. But let's just say this is the roster for the rest of the year. At least largely, this is the roster. Kuminga's on it, and Schroeder's on it, and you don't have another major scorer added in here, okay? I think it would benefit the Warriors to, at the very least, consider what is best for those other two dudes. Because I think what's best for Steph and what's best for the Warriors now is to find a way to take some of the pressure off of Steph. Because it's just not going to work the way this is. It's what I brought up.